Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Michael Cornell is joining us, president of the Erie Niagara School Superintendents Association. It has been a very difficult week for the community following the mass shootings on Saturday. Every day this week, law enforcement have been dealing with threats, some of them copycat threats, at public buildings, schools, businesses. Michael, tell us about schools. What have you been dealing with?
Well, I mean, it's not enough as a community. We've got to try to work through this heart-wrenching and disgusting, hate-filled murder perpetrated by this person. But now it's got to reverberate across our community in this way. It's super frustrating. You know, these copycat threats really create what amounts to a non-incident. It diverts school resources. You know, you've got to have administrators who have to go through and investigate whatever it is that happened. It involves law enforcement, who are great partners for us. I mean, you know, every time we call, they come. It diverts time and resources away from the kids in our schools who really need us and from the people in communities who really need the police around as the great resource that they are. So it's incredibly frustrating.
It also complicates an already complicated issue, I would have to imagine, and that is these threats. And we've heard so many stories about threats of some kind throughout the year here in Western New York within schools, of having to take all of them seriously while they're, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, there seems to be more of them happening, whether that's because of social media and people having access to that and threats being made there. Is it worse than it's ever been when it comes to threats this week, notwithstanding?
Yeah, I think it's worse. Some of this we've talked about before, guys. You know, so the mental health component of it is real. You know, we had a mental health crisis that predates COVID. You know, COVID made it worse. My social worker at our high school sent me a couple of videos of kids being interviewed from 60 Minutes. And they asked, the interviewer asked these kids, high school kids, what was lost? Milestones, my friends, and then myself. So these kids really feel like they've lost themselves over the course of the pandemic. You have a triggering event like what happened at Tops. And you find kids who are going to act out on that all kinds of ways. And one of the ways that they do that is to try to find a sense of value for themselves. And they'll do that sometimes by acting out in a way that is attention seeking. You know, for some kids who are in a bad way in terms of their mental health, any attention is better than no attention. And then the other thing you hit on it is social media. I mean, let's face it. I mean, there are large parts of social media that are an absolute cesspool of hate peddlers out there. And for kids who are looking for joy, value, and connection in some way, and if they can't find it in a healthy pro-social behavior, they'll run down a rabbit hole in the cesspool of social media and find it in these hate groups and peddlers of hate. And, you know, sometimes they'll act out on that. It's just an act of sheer malevolence to create fear, disruption, or cause damage in a school.
Michael, if caught, what happens to these kids if they're found to have made a threat?
We do not have the luxury in schools of underreacting. We're going to vigorously investigate, and we're going to prosecute to the fullest extent of the law. You know, this type of an activity, I believe, is a felony. I'm not a law enforcement expert, but it's a felony. And I mean, I'm not going to flinch at charging a 13-year-old with a felony if they do it. I don't care how old they are.
Has it changed at all? You know, I'm going back to something that was said earlier this week by the Buffalo Police Commissioner about that threat that was made by the shooter to his school not even a year ago. And the threat was considered general in nature. Grimalia said that nobody called in any further complaints. I guess my question is, how is any school threat considered general? I remember being in high school, my freshman year, there was a threat made. I am not aware as to how serious it ended up being after a thorough investigation. But, Michael, that was all anybody talked about for the next 3 years, this one instance. That student was never in class again in the school after that threat. And I can't help but feel that it's much different now that these threats are made and then they're almost quickly forgotten about.
Yeah, so there's a couple of ways to think about it, you know, particularly when it happens in the school. Schools have the code of conduct and the provisions under education law to deal with a circumstance where a child makes a threat in the school, general or not. We're under different rules than law enforcement is. So we have the ability to suspend kids I've suspended kids over the course of my career as an administrator for, you know, 18 months, over the course of, you know, as an assistant principal or a principal, you can only do 5 days of a suspension, but you can do a superintendent's hearing and put that case before a hearing officer and potentially have a child suspended from school, from that particular school setting for a year or 18 months. And I think that happens routinely. We can't, you know, that's not advertised out there. We certainly can't share the disciplinary actions that are visited upon a child who engages in a particular activity. But we can certainly, we have different rules under which we operate when we mete out consequences in schools and law enforcement. So not really understanding the particular circumstances around the threat that happened down in the Binghamton area with this particular top shooter, I have to believe they did everything they could there, not having any information, you know, that would be contrary to that. But I can tell you, I talked to my colleagues around here. None of us are going to underreact to that. We'll all use every aspect of our code of conduct to discipline a child who engages in that type of activity. And then we'll work with our partners in law enforcement to prosecute under the fullest extent of the penal code, because we do not want anybody feeling that they can do this and have it be a costless venture.
We're speaking with Michael Cornell, president of the Erie Niagara School Superintendents Association on WBEM Buffalo. I guess then, Michael, the question is, does somebody in your position have enough tools to properly respond to these every single time? And, you know, I would take what you're saying is truth, that why wouldn't you try everything, use every resource you have available to respond to this? Do you have enough available to you in terms of a response, or maybe that's help for a student, ability to do some sort of further punishment in some cases? What does that look like?
Yeah, I think we do. And often we live in an and world when it comes to these things. It's not like punishment or help. It's punishment and help, right? If you got a kid who's 13 or 14 years old, you know, there needs to be a consequence, but then we need to understand the why. You know, what is the mental health component of it? What are they doing online, and how can we find out about that? And the other thing that where my mind goes too is, how do we prevent it? Like, kids are looking for joy, value, and connection in their lives. All people are looking for joy, value, and connection in their lives. And we can either help them find it in pro-social ways and healthy ways through stuff in school and the community. And if we don't do that, they're going to find it in unhealthy ways and unsupervised ways down the internet and other things. So we need to find ways in school through clubs, sports, music, visual, performing arts, you know, we have all kinds of affinity and therapy groups. There are community groups out there, educating kids and families about the perils of social media, encouraging families to reach out to school-based mental health professionals when they sense that something's maybe not right with their child. I mean, we in schools represent the most readily accessible mental and emotional support for kids through our school counselors and social workers and psychologists and other adults who really care about kids. So, you know, we have the resources to respond, you know, largely thanks to our amazing partners in law enforcement. But what we really need to do is make sure we have the resources in place to help kids find joy, value, and connection through their school experience in healthy ways. And that's something that a lot of us, we've got work to do there. And, you know, we need to pay a lot of attention to that, too. You know, what do they say? An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And I think there needs to be a lot of attention paid to that through the school experience as well. It's not just about math, English, social studies, and science. We've got to help them find joy, value, and connection in healthy ways.
Hey, important conversation there. Michael, thank you. We appreciate it.
Okay, have a good day.
You too. Michael Cornell, president of the Erie Niagara School Superintendent Association.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.